Time to take KSL Outdoors. This is Utah's most listened to program about hunting, fishing, camping, and high adventure. All the gear you need to buy, where the fish are biting, and secret places in Utah and around the world where you can have a blast. KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Well, good morning and welcome back to hour number two and the final one for another week of KSL Outdoors Radio, the beginning of a beautiful warming trend that's going to take us all the way to lower 80s by Wednesday of next week. And I hope you've got plans to kind of get out of the COVID rut and enjoy some time in the outdoors over the next few days, particularly if you're out and about this weekend. And thanks for taking KSL Outdoors Radio along. Russ Smith from Sky Call still with me here. You called in the backup. The Ranger Stan is actually helping around the office this weekend, huh?
Yeah, she comes down regularly. She has a doctor's appointment every quarter. So listen to this. So she drives all the way to Salt Lake for a doctor's appointment. When she gets here, they call her and say, "Well, this is going to be an online appointment."
Oh no.
She says, "Well, I drove all the way down here for the appointment." She says, "Yeah, that's why it has to be online, because you traveled before the appointment."
Oh, no, because she came from Montana.
Yeah. So make it a point always to lie about that.
No, Russ, don't give that kind of advice on the air.
It's just crazy.
These are crazy times, and we're all trying to work our way through it. Anyway, glad you're still with me for this hour. To carry on a conversation next with Blair Stringham. He's our Migratory Game Bird Program Coordinator for the Division of Wildlife Resources. Blair, first of all, good to talk to you.
Yeah, good to talk to you guys, too. I'm glad we can share some information about birds this morning.
I know, and just the fact that we're going to have this conversation about, regular habits and regular practices of nature kind of gives me a sense of normalcy here in a weird, weird world lately.
Yeah, I agree. It's been nice to have a few nice days where my kids can go outside and actually play and do the things that kids do. It's been pretty rough the last month or so, but it's getting better with each warming day.
Well, one of the things that gets us outside is a chance to interact with nature in our own backyards. And this time of year, with spring weather, which is really going to set in nicely over the next week, We may start to see some baby birds falling out of the nest or maybe trying to take their first flight. And so we wanted to make sure that people have all of the skills they need to make sure that the birds are safe.
Yeah, it's that time of year when all that stuff starts happening, and it's good to kind of know what to do if you ever find yourself in that situation.
So where do we start with that? I guess the best advice is leave them alone. That's the simplest of things, right?
Yeah, that's generally the easiest thing to do. Depending on the size of the bird, I mean, it's going to depend on what you're going to actually be able to do with it, if anything. But, yeah, generally, nature does its thing, and we just get involved with it and usually mess it up more than we help. So that's probably the best advice, just to leave things alone when you find it.
Russ, I don't know if you've had this happen to you in your backyard or anywhere else, but if you mess with the baby birds, Mama will let you know she's nearby. I've actually been attacked by Mama a couple of times, taking dive bomb shots at our heads while we were trying just to look into the nest. Yeah. Blair, and that's a point. Those motherly instincts come out maybe in the worst of ways by Mama Bird.
They do. They can get pretty aggressive, and you'll know when you've crossed that line. Cause like you say, they'll swoop down at you and try to attack you, or you'll see them kind of pretending they're injured, scooting across the lawn or whatever, wherever you're at. So it's definitely the instinct they have to try to protect their young, and you usually know when you've got to that point where you're probably in a situation you shouldn't be in.
We used to have aspen trees right outside of the front window of our house, so we could actually stay inside when they would nest there, stay inside and watch the robins every day, which was a real treat for us. Is it robins that we might see for the most part, or are we talking about swallows or some other species?
Yeah, there's a variety of people or birds that people will see in their backyards, but quite often it is robins. They're usually really like that backyard habitat, and a lot of times that's what people will find. You will see swallows, though. I mean, sometimes they'll nest up in the eaves of your houses, and they tend to follow their nests quite often as well. And then there's a variety of just smaller birds that could be in your backyards as well.
Yeah,
those birds that are nests. So.
Yeah, Ross?
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering if you still have that pesky woodpecker.
Oh, you know what? I haven't seen him in a while, but the holes are still there. This doesn't have anything to do with the nesting thing, Blair, but I have a... or had anyway. I hope he doesn't come back. A woodpecker that sort of imprinted himself on the posts on my front porch.
Yeah, that can be quite a problem as well. We usually recommend people put up, you know, like owl effigies and things like that. And I've heard of people that put those up, and then the woodpeckers decide that's their next target, and they'll start pecking on those as well. So it can be a challenge to try to get rid of woodpeckers, definitely.
Well, and it's happened because these are hollow posts on my front porch that are stucco, and I guess they like to get in there. And again, goes back to the nesting thing here. Here's a connection, though, to this time of year. They were in there to get some of the styrofoam insulation or something out of it to help build nest with.
Yeah, it's interesting to see what birds can do to your property. They have a variety of reasons why they're doing what they do. And if you can have a good perspective on it and just understand that that's what they're doing and appreciate it, it usually is a lot easier on you than trying to continually try to solve those problems, because they oftentimes don't go away very easily.
Yeah, well, I found myself not handling it very well. I felt like Bill Murray in Caddyshack trying to deal with that gopher. I'd be sitting in the front room watching television, and all of a sudden I'd hear... And I knew he was back. And I played this game with him for a while where I would go out, I'd get the stucco, I would patch the hole, I'd fill the hole with insulation, patch the hole, and the little devil would come back hours later and put a new hole. So I decided it was actually better to leave the hole and just let him enter through that same hole every time.
Yeah, a lot of those backyard bird problems, they can be solved by, you know, modifying the habitat or removing a food source. But if they're pecking on your house because that's what they want to do, it's pretty tough to, you know, fix that, because that's your house and you can't change it a lot.
Well, and we should say it's illegal to wage mortal combat with a woodpecker, right?
It is. Yeah, that's one of the challenges we deal with birds, is because they're protected under the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, which gives them special protection where you can't harm the bird or their nest or their young. And so it gets to be a challenge for sure in dealing with species like that.
I actually thought, Russ, he was sitting in my front tree sticking his tongue out at me when I would have come out onto the porch.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah. Now,
you know, my favorite.
Yeah, go ahead.
My favorite backyard bird is the quail that move through here all the time. And they're so much fun to watch. And the dogs don't bother them. The dogs just sit and watch them. And so it's they don't disturb anybody. I don't know where they nest, but we've got quite a few quail in this neighborhood.
Are you there, Blair?
Yeah, they're another cool. Yep. They're another really neat species that people will see, especially in the Salt Lake Valley. And they're pretty good, because as soon as their eggs hatch, the baby quail can just kind of take off and do their own thing.
Yeah.
And so they're a lot more mobile and able to defend themselves, as opposed to a robin, where when they're hatched, they stay in the nest for a couple weeks before they can really start moving around. So it's nice to have those birds that can just kind of take off from the egg and do their own thing.
Now Russ says that his dogs are not that curious and don't want to mess with the birds, but I would imagine that's one of the bigger dangers when a bird does fall out of the nest.
It is, yep. As soon as they leave that nest, that's their safe space, and there's all kinds of dangers that can happen. Dogs walking along, cats, they get a lot of the baby birds that'll fall out. Even kids picking them up and putting them in their pocket, or, you know, we've seen just about everything. So it's nice to be aware of where the nests are at in your yard, because stuff like that's happening all the time. It's good to keep your pets away or other dangerous things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead, Russ.
Well, I was going to ask, I've got a tree I've got to take down in my front yard, but it's got a big nest in it. And is there a good time to wait to take that tree down? Is there a good time to take it down where you think the birds aren't nesting?
Yeah, so I guess it would be dependent on the kind of bird that's in it. But generally, nesting will start happen anytime from about March all the way through probably the middle of the summer. And so if you see birds actually actively using the nest, then you probably want to leave it alone. But if you look and there's no birds in it, there's no eggs or anything like that, then you could hurry and remove the tree and not have any issues that way.
Great.
One of the things you don't want to do is try and feed the baby birds, correct?
Yeah, so most birds have a pretty specific diet. Some of them, you know, will eat worms and things that we typically feed the birds will eat, but a lot of them, like doves, their mothers will actually produce a milky substance that they feed them. Other birds will eat seeds or things like that. So it's generally just a good idea to try to put it back where you think it came from and just kind of leave it alone because its moms know best and they can better take care of it than we can.
The question was raised, and this came up actually in the press release that Faith sent over to me about what to do if you find a baby duck. Now, to get a baby duck, you would have had to have eggs somewhere in your backyard, wouldn't you?
Typically, yeah. So a lot of times we'll see mallards especially. They'll nest in people's backyards, and once the eggs hatch, they'll be stuck in a fenced-off area. Sometimes, though, once they hatch, they'll kind of wander around neighborhoods or try to find a water source, and that's often when they'll get, you know, stuck in someone's backyard because they have a swimming pool or a creek or things like that. So we see it happen every year. And in that situation, if you can, you know, easily get the babies and the mom out of your backyard, you can quickly do that without any issues. But if you do find that they're stuck in things like a storm drain or if they're a place you just can't get to them, they can't get out, you can give us a call and we can assist you with that problem.
All right. This actually happened to my daughter. They had some domesticated ducks in the backyard. And I don't remember how the little black one turned out to be in their backyard, but it may have been one of those deals where it showed up and decided it was a good place to call home. They have a swimming pool and they have a little pond where the ducks like to swim. Anyway, that duck stuck around through the winter and then it just took off. So we're all kind of anxious to find out if maybe it comes back home instinctively to their backyard at some point.
Yeah, oftentimes a lot of the females in species like that will come back to the same place to try to nest the following year after they've grown up. And so, yeah, you very well may see that bird show up in the near future.
Yeah, interesting. Well, a couple of things to keep in mind then. If you find baby birds in the backyard, pretty much just leave them alone and let mama take care of it or let nature take its course. Sometimes that's kind of painful to do. You don't want it to play out in front of, you know, the youngest of your children. It can be a little terrorizing to them. But there's a great website if you want additional information. It's Wild Aware Utah. Is it just wildawareutah.com, Blair, do you know?
I don't for sure, but I know it's similar to that. If you Googled that website, wildawareutah. I believe it's .org, or just throw it into Google, it should pop up as one of the first search things and just click on the link.
Yeah. We were hoping to have some time, and I don't know what your time is like, Blair. Can you hang on for just another segment with us, and we'll talk about backyard bird watching and how to encourage some birds to come into your backyard?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Stand by. Russ, don't go away. We'll have that conversation after we take a quick break here on KSL. Thanks for listening this week to KSL Outdoors Radio. We'll be back in a minute.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back again to KSL Outdoors Radio, and we're happy he had the time to stick around. Blair Stringham, still with us. He's a migratory game bird program coordinator. We were talking about, in the last segment, what to do if baby birds show up in your backyard and then somehow find their way out of the nest, which happens quite a bit. And sometimes it's accidental, with mom just trying to settle in and somebody gets scooted out. Other times it's because they are mature enough that they're starting to think about taking their first flight. But backyard bird watching, particularly in a time like we're in right now, Blair, when you can't get too far from home or you're encouraged not to get too far from home, there are lots of opportunities to lure some birds into your backyard. And I guess it all starts with providing a food source.
It does, yep. So there's hundreds of different bird species here in Utah, and they're all kind of looking for somewhat different things. And if you can kind of key in on what each one of those bird species wants, you can have a whole bunch of different birds visiting your yard on a daily basis. And it can be kind of fun in times like this where you're not getting out of your house as much to just sit and watch and see what different species come in. And we enjoy doing that at our house quite a bit. We've got pigeons and chickens and stuff we see all the time, and it's a lot of fun to watch birds and see what they do.
I've got some starlings I would just as soon never see again. They tend to tear your house apart. But
yeah.
The one that everybody seems to start with, and I guess is maybe the simplest to attract, is the hummingbird.
Yeah, they're definitely one of my favorites, and they're really easy to get coming into your yard if you just put out those hummingbird feeders that you can buy at just about any store. The nectar is really easy to make. You can make it at home and keep it full, and you can get dozens and dozens of hummingbirds if you put up some feeders, and they're pretty fun to watch zip back and forth across your yard and see them fly forwards and backwards and up and down and everything they do. They're a pretty neat bird to have around.
Russ, yeah. you know my buddy Russ, Jason Sims, who is so he's so handy with a camera, and he finds it a great challenge to sit in a blind that he has made in his own backyard and get as close as he can with a giant lens to these little flittering flicks that jump around the backyard, these hummingbirds, and he's had some amazing pictures of them.
Mm. It's pretty nice. We've got bird feeders, not at our home, but at the home next door, that I can watch from my shop here. For some reason, he doesn't have them up right now. It doesn't break my heart when he doesn't have them up, because it's mainly seeds is what he has in them, and they attract a lot of four-legged mammals also.
Yeah. Blair, that is one of the downsides, right?
It is, yep. So a lot of times those feeders will also attract things like deer. They'll attract squirrels and stuff like that, and they can really wreak havoc on your feeders, so. It's definitely something to keep in mind. Keep them up high, or keep them in a spot where the deer or squirrels or anything else coming in can't get into as easy.
Well, and here's the other thing, and this kind of ties in with my years and years on the KSL Greenhouse Show. It doesn't always have to be an artificial feeder. Sometimes it's what you choose to put in your flower beds and shrubs and lilacs and anything that is berry producing.
Yeah, there's really a variety of plant species that you can put in your backyard that will produce that food that people or the birds are wanting, and they're really pretty for people as well. So some of those nice ornamentals will attract all kinds of different species.
Any other tips you would give to people? And sometimes you have to realize, I guess, it's not going to happen instantly. It takes a little while for word to get through the bird world that there's a place to go feed.
Yeah, I would just recommend people research birds a little bit, because depending on the species, you're going to have to put out different food items. So the typical bird feeder that's full of just a seed mix you can get at an IFA or some of those other stores that sell seed will attract quite a few different bird species. But there's other things that you can put out, orange slices or pieces of fruit, to attract things like western tanagers that you wouldn't normally see with just a typical seed mix. You can put out things like grape jelly to attract orioles or peanuts even attack jays. So if you research a little bit, there's quite a few web pages that'll tell you specifically what those birds are looking for. You start putting out some of those more unique species or pieces of food, you'll get some pretty unique species of birds coming in.
Here's the other thing. It doesn't always have to be watching them feed. What's even more fun to watch than having them feed is actually watching them take a bath. If you can put a little bird bath back there, they really enjoy that on a hot day.
Yeah, bird baths are a lot of fun, because you see them splashing all around and you think, what are you doing? You're a bird. But it's pretty fun to see them getting wet, and then they sit and they prune themselves and clean their feathers off and get them all in place to fly again. And they're a lot of fun, too. My kids really enjoy watching birds do that.
Yeah. Well, at the Skycall compound up there in Sugar House, I think, Russ, you're usually more busy trying to catch a squirrel than you are watching the birds, aren't you?
Yeah, the squirrel's definitely the main attraction here. But, you know, we were out in the West Desert on Sunday, and I was surprised. Of course, I go out there a lot, and there's always a lot of birds, and it's kind of fun to watch. But I was surprised the amount of water birds that were out roaming around in the desert.
Yeah, we get some incredible migrations coming through Utah, and usually we think about kind of the Great Salt Lake for water birds to stop over there, but really they're utilizing kind of all these wet metal, wet locations, creeks, ponds, all that stuff across Utah. And kind of that western side of Utah is one of the major migration corridors for some of our crane populations, and a lot of snow geese will move through there.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, this time of year you can see just about anything, just about anywhere here in Utah.
We've only got about a minute left here, but I have to ask you, because I've seen some amazing pictures, and it wouldn't even have been on my radar, but I guess it's been fairly unusual for decades to see bald eagles nesting in saguaro cactuses in Arizona, but all of a sudden that's happening, and it's sort of weird.
Yeah, it seems like our bird populations, for the most part, are doing really well. I mean, we've seen it with a lot of Canada geese that have started nesting really all across Utah, especially in the city areas. We've had, you know, more and more eagles nesting in Utah. Peregrine falcons have started coming back really strong. And so a lot of those species are doing well, and kind of they expand. They're going into new areas and setting up their shop and their homes and doing their thing. And so it's kind of cool to watch that happen and see them go to new areas, and people get to enjoy them from a different perspective than they would otherwise.
Even the most avid of bird watchers have been very surprised at that happening down in Arizona. If you get a chance, Google that and take a look at it. It's really something. And it looks like it would be uncomfortable in the building process to put your nest in a cactus. But maybe they consider that to be extra protection from predators, too. Who knows? Blair, we're out of time. We sure appreciate you staying on an extra segment with us. Our Migratory Game Bird Program Coordinator for the division, Blair Stringham, thanks for your time.
Absolutely. I appreciate your opportunity to come and sit on the show today.
All right, stay with us. We got a news update coming up next, and then the final half hour of the program, so don't go away.